This is Pastor David Warner welcoming you to the Nuggets of Truth broadcast. Today we're looking at Isaiah. We're going to be looking at some of the prophecies that were laid out by the prophet Isaiah. But let me say before I start that, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 3 says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." And I'm going to drop down to verse number 10. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." And so you have the Apostle Peter speaking about the return of the Lord and the day of the Lord. You see, history, you've heard this statement, history repeats. If you go back to Noah and the judgment of God upon the world with the flood, or Isaiah's day, where the prophet prepares Israel for the judgment which is about to come with the Assyrians and Babylonians taking Israel into captivity, or if you go to the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, and you look at the last church in the church age, and you get a glimpse of what it looks like before Jesus returns. It's not an accident today that Russia is attempting to control the entire region. You see, Russia in the Bible is the bear. Russia will come down from the north. There, in the last days, there is going to be a battle, a great battle in the Middle East. It'll be towards Israel. And you'll look at the common European common market nations, and they'll be the main power at that time. The United States is no longer the main power when we get to that day. Well, you could say probably we're there already. But today, we're going to look at what Isaiah did in his day. You're going to find that it's pretty much like 2 Peter, where Peter's preparing believers. Now, I want you to follow along as we start. Isaiah 40, we read, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. And if I was to go on and read all this, what the prophet Isaiah is going to say is, God will judge for your sin. There's judgment coming. But he says, the good news, the comfort here is, that the word of our God shall stand forever. And God promised he would send the Messiah. And that's what Isaiah 40, verse number 3, is all about. The Messiah is going to come. And so in Isaiah 55, the prophet Isaiah gives this universal invitation to come to the Lord. Now in the Old Testament, believers came to the Lord, and the Bible tells us that they were justified by faith. You look at Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. They had to offer sacrifices for sin. In the New Testament, New Testament believers are justified by faith. It's not by works. It's not by your label, not by your baptism, not by confirmation. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, and so here, notice the invitation. Isaiah gives it. Isaiah 55, 1. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." And so all are invited to come. But did you notice? It says, everyone that thirsteth. You see, today there are people that when you talk to them about Jesus, they'll say, "I'm just not interested." Or they may say, "You know what? I'm satisfied with where I'm at in life. I don't need that." Well, they're not thirsty. You see, it's limited only to people who are thirsty. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." You see? Sort of like that picture alongside the interstate has one word. It says thirsty, and then it has a picture of Coke. Well, if you're thirsty, you'll probably stop and get a Coke. Otherwise, you'll drive. Well, understand what the prophet's saying. Now, you can come by without money. You see, you can't purchase salvation. It says, come and buy without price. So the choice is yours. It's offered freely, but you must choose. What am I going to do with this? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Are you willing to put your faith and trust in Jesus? And so here, conditions for obtaining these spiritual blessings. Look at the next verse, verse number 3, Isaiah 55:3. Incline your ear and come unto me, here and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Nothing's changed, Old Testament, New Testament. People say, well, you know, the Old Testament's not for us. Well, the Old Testament's concerning the promises of the fact that Jesus would come. New Testament, Jesus came. He died. He was buried. Raised on the third day, providing the sacrifice by which you can have your sins forgiven. That you can take this book and apply its principles and live and teach. And so here he says, well, conditions for obtaining these spiritual blessings. You need to incline your ear and come unto me. You see, at verse 8 and 9, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. Understand, today we've got a lot of people who call themselves Christians, and they have this worldly philosophy. They have this opinion that you cannot find within the pages of the Bible. And there's zero tolerance here for worldly philosophy. When you come to him, you come and you look at his law. You come and you look at his commandments, his statutes. You're not moving away from that. See, Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You either hate the one and love the other, or else hold to the one and despise the other. And so he says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And so here in Isaiah 55:6, you know, there is a time. You say, why is that? That's because when God calls, when there's conviction to trust him, when you put it off, it gets easier and easier to put it off. And eventually, you'll be left behind. And so the next thing that he's going to say, just as Peter did, Peter said, yeah, the Lord's going to judge this place. And he warns believers. He warns the people in the church age. And he says, listen up. He says, God's going to keep his word. And so here, the next thing he's going to warn about is the watchmen. Who are the watchmen? That's those people in the ministry. You see, our world is where we're at today because of the church. The church no longer stands. There's many churches today that no longer teach the Bible. They've strayed way far away from the Bible. And so here he says, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come. That's Isaiah 56. Blessed is a man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it. And so observe the word. It should be kept in your heart and mind, held fast and applied. And so that's why Paul said, do not neglect this so great salvation, because every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. In other words, when you go against it, it's going to cost you. And that's what he's saying. Now, the next thing you'll find is what took place. Understand, because he states here, he says, look, in Isaiah 56, he calls the watchmen, the people in the ministry, greedy dogs that never have enough. And you know, he says in Isaiah 28, they erred through wine, through strong drink, are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink and are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink, and they err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. I want you to understand, when religion, when church, when those in the ministry no longer teach truth, it opens a door that all the tables will be full of vomit and filthiness, and there's no place clean. When the church is a light, when we stand against darkness, it makes it much more difficult. And so the very next thing he's going to say, there's a decline of a nation. And I'm going to have to end here, but I'll finish this on Tuesday. Understand the decline of the nation. There was a public calamity. Isaiah 57:1, the righteous were perishing, and no man layeth it to heart, and merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. You see, good men were dying, men that were sound in doctrine and practice, and no one was concerned about that. The moral fabric of the nation was changing. It was being corrupted. There was a perverseness that was going throughout, and no one seemed to be concerned. That's alarming. your parents, your grandparents, your ministers. They should be alarmed when them that oppose God and God's word seem to be able to go without anybody speaking up. It got so bad in Isaiah's time, Isaiah asked the question, who's going to teach? Who's going to make to understand doctrine? And you know what was said in Isaiah 28? The mothers that weaned their babies, they would teach precept upon precept and line upon line, here a little and there a little. God's looking for a man that'll stand, make up the hedge, and stand in the gap and say, as for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. You see, the Lord is going to return. Judgment is coming. But for you and I who disregard what this book says, there is a harsh reality. We're going to lose family members. They won't be in heaven. There's an eternity where they will be judged and punished for rejecting. Where are you at? Hey, we'd like to invite you to the New Freedom Baptist Church right here in Mobridge, 10 o'clock Sunday school, 11 o'clock worship service. Wednesday, 7 o'clock Bible study.